Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, offering crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at www.sfarmmarketing.com.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 15th, 2010. USDA delivers another January surprise, and the markets crumbled. We'll see if there's any glimmer of hope today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Chip Flory. He's the general manager and senior analyst at Pro Farmer. Our panelists today in studio are Mike Zuzolo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Let's recap a dismal week in Chicago for both the corn and the soybeans this week. Numbers look like this. Nearby March corn had a high the week at $4.25, a low at $3.68, with the settlement price at $3.71.5, down 51.5 cents on the week. December corn, the new crop, the settlement price at $4.06, 43 cents lower. In the wheat futures, nearby March contract to 575 top, bottom at 509, settlement price down 58.5 cents at 510. July wheat at 533.75 on the settlement price. The harvest month finished 55.75 cents lower. From the soy complex for the week, a March high of 1032.75, a low at 969. March beans down 48 cents at $9.74. November soybeans finished at 942.25, the new crop down 56.75 cents. From the livestock side at the CME Group, nearby February live cattle had a high of 87.42.5, a low at 84.75, with the settlement price there at 87.35. They were $1.52.5 higher on the week, and January feeders at 95.95 settled the buck 62.5 higher. Lean hogs on the week had a high of $70.20, a low at $65.65. The February settled at $69.97.5, up $2.72.5.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Let's start a discussion today with this question. Bill Mayer, USDA, says it will resurvey farmers about the corn still standing in fields throughout the Midwest and released an updated set of numbers in March. Will things change?
Yes, I think the odds are very high that they will. If I look at the task that the USDA had, it was an almost impossible task at the time that they were asked to do that with as much corn still in the field. The big number that I guess I took issue with was the increase in harvested acres on corn. I'm not sure how that increases from November to January. As far as yields and total production and that, I guess I don't have a big argument with those numbers.
Kurt Kimmel?
There's probably going to be some changes. Got to remember, though, a year ago, we had quite a few farmers in northern Illinois, southern Wisconsin, didn't get the crop out till March, and they saw some yield reduction. It wasn't tremendous or disaster, for say. So they'll sort it out. They're going to do some work on it. We'll see what number we're up with. But probably the big number would be the demand side of the equation and further updates on the South American crop.
And Mike Zuzolo.
Well, I think by the way the trade reacted this past week, Todd, they don't think the numbers are going to change much because they took that number at face value. I will say I wrote a letter to the head of NAS this week and asked that we get numbers before March 10 because we do have crop insurance coming up in the month of February. We've got a lot of cash flow issues in this time period with buying seed, buying fertilizer, selling grain that's stored in the commercial elevator. Mr. Prasaki was kind enough to write back on Friday, and he said we can't do it before March simply because we're not going to take the survey until the end of January, early February. We've got some other information we've got to get statistically ready, so it's going to take time to crunch the numbers. So we're going to have to wait a while for these new numbers, whatever they say. And I think And I went so far as to ask compliance if it was okay to say this so I don't get in trouble. But in my opinion, I kind of get the feeling that USDA has kind of taken a page out of the playbook of Homeland Security. They're kind of taking a defensive role here with these numbers, in my view. And not to get on a soapbox, but I feel like they need to be a little bit more proactive and offensive and get these revised numbers out before March. But they simply can't do it.
All right. U.S. corn for grain production now estimated at 13.2 billion bushels. That up 2% from November's forecast and 1% above the previous record, that, of course, of 13 billion, set in 2007. Grain yield also estimated at a record level for 2009 at 165.2 bushels to the acre. That's up 2.3 bushels from November and 4.9 above the previous record of 160.3 bushels per acre set in 2004. Which of those numbers do you and don't you like?
I would say probably the worst number is the harvested acres, like Bill was talking about. When you're talking about corn, the harvested acres are the issue, especially given that the numbers were released on the January 12th report were released based upon late November, early December figures. So those are the ones that I take most issue with. Other than that, the stocks report, they plowed a bunch of numbers of late November, early December into the stocks report as well.
Anybody else have issues with some of the numbers other than the harvested acres? Is this where we really differ with USDA?
Well, I think you still got to go back to this year compared to most years. You typically have all the crop or most of the crop, but Kurt said there's always some times where you got some crop in the field. But it's in a bin where it can be measured. You've got some idea what your December 31st stocks are. And this year you just didn't have that. So it kind of, if you back into it, you know, if you don't know what the stocks are for sure or there's more uncertainty there, then I think, you know, that kind of goes into all the numbers, really.
Kurt?
Well, it's just mind-boggling, period. I mean, it's record everything. Record input cost, record getting in, record getting laid out. So it's just amazing what we're looking at. But when you talk to producers clear across the nation, there's several areas where producers had record yields, the best ever. So how you average that all out, we're going to find out.
I guess the bottom line, I suppose, is we get to live with it one way or the other, right?
It's the numbers. That's the numbers the trade's going to work with here for a while. And so that's why you got to have a marketing plan and take advantage of the market when you can. Also, too, you got to be flexible. For example, if you're ones that saw these numbers and are extremely bearish now, if you do throw in the towel, I would recommend maybe replacing it to make up the ground the other way down the road.
All right. When you talked to producers this week, I suspect they weren't all that happy, right? Was it a tough week? I mean, for the three of you, I would think it would have been a tough week on the phones.
Very busy. Huh? I guess one thing I think, maybe throw out there, let's just go back a year ago. A year ago, we had basically the same situation. We had the huge increase in acres, remember, on corn, limit down the day of the report, moved lower into the end of January, and then kind of came back, not up to the levels, but close to the levels that we started from. And I think that's where a producer from a marketing plan standpoint, like Kirk says, has to kind of sit back. He's got to readjust. It's a game changer. For sure, and you need to probably lower your targets a little bit and maybe reassess your marketing plan at this point.
And so you helped them reassess this week. What did you tell them?
Well, I think depends on the case. If you've got somebody that was real proactive on sales, if they've been pretty aggressive on making sales, I think it may be the time to come in and look at replacing some of those sales. On the other hand, if you've got somebody that really hasn't made any moves at this point, especially on new crop, there are some option strategies or combination option strategies that you can get out there if you do get a little bit of a rebound, probably to get some floor prices locked in but leave your upside open.
Todd, I think if we can get away from the outside markets pushing us down and pulling on us, like the energies and the gold and the stocks pulling us down after the long holiday weekend, I think the USDA numbers are factored in. That's what I've been talking to clients about, except in the wheat. I think the biggest marketing change that I've made in the plan that I work with the clients is, look, we're not going to have wheat as our friend at this point. We're bringing wheat in from Brazil for feeding for poultry and pork feeders into North Carolina. We've got the worst export since 1971-72. We're back to 190 million metric tons globally in ending stocks. I think that goes back to the 2001-2002 time period. We're not going to have the wheat as our friend, even with these low planted acres for winter wheat. So that's where I think the upside potential in the corn may be diminished if USDA doesn't change these numbers in March. But I like the beans. I thought the report overall for beans wasn't that tragic because the DEIS 1 stocks were below trade estimates. And even though they raised the yield to 44, I think it was, the ending stocks went down 10 million bushels. And so I felt like the beans came out of it the best. And between that and the export sales for the beans and the meal and the oil this past week, I felt like the supply and demand fundamentals for beans looked the best that they have in probably 3 or 4 weeks, and look how much premium we've taken off of it. So I think the biggest problem with beans right now goes back to the currencies and that dollar-real spread.
Okay, you mentioned the beans, so let's go through those numbers from USDA for this last set of reports. Production in 2009 now totals 3.36 billion bushels. That's up 1% from November. And 13% from 2008. U.S. production, the largest on record. The average yield at 44 bushels to the acre nationwide, 0.7 bushels above November, 4.3 bushels above last year's yield. Harvested area up 2% from 2008 to 76.4 million acres. So those are the numbers in the beans. Have you talked to producers about beans? I guess we were under the assumption that most producers marketed a lot, if not all, of their beans at this point.
Yeah, we've been fairly aggressive on pushing beans out the door. Of course, we always recommend hanging on a little bit if you can going into spring and summer in case a drought comes along. You got a little play money. But for the most part, guys have been actively sold up on beans. You know, if they did do some cash replacements, such as a bull call spread, we've recommended to buy back the short side of the call spread there on the out. The one outside the money, there are ways to print profit on that and leave the other side open.
You know, as I sit here, I'm surprised this week that each of you is willing to work with the numbers from USDA. I know you have to work with them, but that you're okay with those numbers. That surprises me. Does it surprise
you? I'm going to have to say I'm going to be a hard-headed Italian like I've always been. I just don't buy into the bean yield numbers. I mean, I know there were record bean yields in this country, but I also know there were tragic bean yields all around the eastern and central bean belt. So I still am looking for a bean yield closer to the five-year average, not the best we've seen in 10 or 12 years.
You might have to look for a long time.
Well, if I don't get it in March, then that's where you don't fight City Hall, because then you're putting yourself and your ego in front of your clients, and that's what you just don't want to do.
And I guess if I look at the state-by-state on the corn, you know, Illinois down, what I think, 4 bushel an acre or something like that, down 1 from last month.
Right.
I believe from last year it was down more than that.
Right.
I don't have it right here in front of me. You know, Iowa and Nebraska were way up, but when you talk to producers out there, I mean, you just heard about some tremendous yields in those states. So I guess when I look at it state by state on the corn, it's just hard for me to get real picky on, you know, whether you're a bushel or two off on those states.
Well, if you go clear back to the last spring, we disagreed with Illinois planted acres, and we talked about that for months and months. It took them for a long time before they admitted it. So, yes, you may be right long term, and the USDA might be off a little bit, but, man, when you trade the market and have to put hard cash down on the table every day, it's awful hard to fight that trend.
Okay, so for the new marketing year, what has changed with this set of numbers for the 2010 soybean and corn crop that you started to talk about with producers this week?
Well, I think the big thing in the report was the fact that the wheat acres are down 6 million acres.
Right.
I went through a state by state. It's about, just roughly, rather than getting into a lot of numbers, about half and half, about half hard wheat, half soft wheat. So you could really look at 3 million acres pretty easily as far as the eastern belt that, you know, in the corn state area, I guess is what I'm saying.
500,000 acres in Illinois.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think Kansas was pretty big.
Right.
I can't remember right off the top of my head. But I guess I think that when you look at it long term, you've got your trend yield that's going to be higher now because of the higher yield. And now you've got probably 89 million acres, maybe reasonable 89, 90 million acres to expect on corn acres planted. So it's hard to keep that 2010 balance sheet below 2 billion carryout, really, when you start plugging those numbers in.
We'll return in just 2 minutes here. You're listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. We'd like to extend a big warm welcome to the folks that listen to us now on WFIW in Southern Illinois. Our thanks for them for joining our program called Commodity Week. You can always hear us online at willag.org if you'd like. When we come back, we'll talk with Chip Flory.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois residents finally were able to enjoy some normal winter weather by the middle of this week. Despite the warm-up this week, though, temperatures averaged well below normal thanks to a very cold start. Temperatures on Sunday morning were well below zero across most of Illinois, and they dropped into the teens and single digits every morning through Wednesday, especially in snow-covered areas. Wednesday was the first day many locations actually rose above freezing this month, and Thursday morning was the first morning where minimum temperatures were above normal in most areas. Other than a few snow flurries and some drizzle late in the week, the second full week of January was dry across the state. After a dry and seasonable weekend, the weather picture should slowly start to change next week. Temperatures are likely to turn a little colder by midweek, and clouds will be on the increase as a weather system approaches Illinois from the Central Plains. Precipitation chances will increase for the southern half of the state beginning on Tuesday, and with precipitation possible for most of Illinois by Thursday. Right now, it appears most precipitation will be of the liquid variety, and at any rate, it does look like we will be entering a period of stormier weather that very likely could continue into the last week of January. For the NOAA Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333 and by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This edition of Commodity Week was recorded Friday, January the 15th, 2010. I'm Todd Gleason. Our panelists today in studio are Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Lafayette, Indiana, Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. On the phone line with us today, Chip Flory is General Manager and Senior Analyst at Pro Farmer, and he hails from Cedar Falls, Iowa. Good afternoon to you, Chip.
How are you, Todd?
I am doing very well. You're back good from Florida, where it was warm and probably comfortable, but I bet on Tuesday morning you weren't all that comfortable either, were you?
No, we were meeting, actually, with a group of Pro Farmer members down there in front of the Ag Connect Expo at our Leading Edge conference, and we had a room full of Pro Farmer members when the report was released, and there was a lot of wide eyes and groans that went out when the crop production report was released.
Did you believe them, and do you today?
It's a little tough to believe that increase in the acreage. What did they discover from November to January that made them increase that acreage estimate? So I agree with one of the other panelists that said that was a pretty tough pill to swallow. Before the report was released on Monday morning, we had done a survey of the attendees there and asked them to rate their crop on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being worst ever, 5 being 5-year average, and 10 being the best ever. And we had a lot of 9 and 10s, and a couple of guys wanted to extend the range out to 11 or 12. We talked about the test weight issue, and everybody across the board talked about a lighter test weight, and that if they've got a 100,000 bushel bin, they've got it filled to the peak with 80,000 bushels of corn in it. Asked them if they factored that into their thinking when they rate their crop a 10, and they still said yes. There was a lot of kernels out there this year, guys, and even though they weighed light, we've got a heck of a yield out there. The Nebraska crop, a comment was made earlier about the big yields out there. It was unbelievably good this year. The Iowa crop was good, best in the West and declining to the East. The Illinois crop had its problems. Indiana, you know, the increases that we saw in the January annual production summary, up 10 bushels in Kansas. I believe Ohio was up 8 bushels. I believe Indiana was up 6 or 7 bushels. I think it was 6 bushels.
6.
You know, we got the big increases in areas where NASS has been known to kind of take their eye off the ball from time to time in those areas. They keep their eye on Minnesota, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, your top 4 states. If you can get those 4 states right, you're typically going to get it right. It was those outside states that kind of lifted that yield going into the report. So I'm not going to argue with 165.2. What good does it do you? USDA is right because it's USDA's number.
Chip, let's kind of take it to the price side of things. Yeah. Some of the studies we've done show that about 95% of the time you exceed your January highs on corn sometime mm-hmm. during the growing season. Mm-hmm. Do you think, could you just kind of address that? Is this the 5% year you make?
It sure feels like it. If we're going to do that, we're going to have a production problem sometime in June into the pollination period. I think if we're going to do that, short term, I think we've got some kind of a price bounce coming. And I don't think it's going to be very long. It's not going to be much of a bounce. There will be a bounce in here. It should happen Tuesday or Wednesday. But then after that, I think we just get the slow bleed. And then Mike Z made an excellent comment. It's something that we've been worried about, too, about the impact of this production resurvey that's going to be coming out in March and its potential impact on that CRC price. What happens if we just bleed through February with the price? We get to March 10th, we get the production update. They say, no, it wasn't 165, it's a 162. No acres weren't up 300,000, they were up 100,000. All of a sudden, we've scratched 250 or 300 million bushels off the books, and the price starts to rise again, and now we're left with protection well underneath the market. That's a big concern, big enough, Mike, that we made the same phone call. Called Joe Persaki at NASS, asked him if they're going to, if they would consider any changes. He said that he was going to take our concerns to RMA and see if they shared those concerns and if maybe there could be some adjustments made somewhere, somehow, so that we could adjust so that we could account and have time to make the decisions that we need to make for the 2010 season. So what that tells me is that Joe's not willing to make any changes, like you indicated, Mike. Joe's not willing to make any changes on the release date of the information that they will be gathering. But if there are any adjustments coming, maybe they might come through RMA with an adjustment in crop insurance dates or something like that. I'm not making a prediction. I'm just speculating that if any adjustments are made, it could come through RMA.
Hey, Chip, there was a firm did surveys by satellite and told mm-hmm. us all along the crop's not there. I listened to the news media, and they said these funds are going to come in and buy 60,000 contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't do anything. I still got some grain to do. What do I do now?
Okay. Now, as far as the satellites go, there were two different groups out there working on the satellites. One of them, I know who you're talking about, was below the market or below USDA with their yield estimate all year. There was another one that was pushing way out the top and leading the charge higher on yield. So I don't know. You know, it's just different perspectives and different ways of analyzing the data that comes in, I guess. I'm no satellite expert, that's for sure, or satellite imagery expert. That's absolutely for sure. Second part of the question.
listening to the news media, the funds
the
are going to come.
Rebalancing.
Oh, they're going to come in by 60,000.
Yeah, you know what? They got it done. They got all that fund rebalancing done. It wrapped up today on the close. When the market was limit down on Tuesday, they extended the fund rebalancing by a day. It was supposed to wrap up Thursday afternoon. It wrapped up Friday afternoon.
Wait,
the funds
came in and it went down?
It was so anticipated. This fund rebalancing was so anticipated that we had all this front running coming in front of it. Look at what happened to open interest leading right into the January 12 report. All of a sudden, once that January 12 report came, anybody that bought corn in anticipation of the fund rebalancing was a loser. All those losers wanted was a way out. The fund rebalancing gave them a way out.
Okay, Chip, the last part of that whole statement that I made there, too, is, okay, as a producer now, what do I do?
Yeah, what do? You change your attitude. January 12 was a game changer. It absolutely was. It was for me. I went from an attitude of, okay, we're looking for an opportunity very near term, because we felt like the high was very close, but we were looking for the opportunity to maximize our selling price on this round of selling. Now I've gone from, okay, we made the sale Tuesday, we bit the bullet, we reacted, we made some additional cash sales on Tuesday. Now my attitude is, for the cattle and hog guy, I'm looking for the best spot to step in and start buying some feed. And that fits very well, I think, with the comment that was made earlier. If you were heavily sold going into this report, now's the time that you're going to be starting to look at, when do I start picking up some long coverage in here if I can buy something cheap?
Chip, with the straw poll you did mm-hmm. they say anything on the beans? Was there any overriding bias there?
Yeah, it sure didn't suggest a 44.
So it's higher then?
I think it's a little bit lower, which gets to that grain stocks report. That grain stocks report indicated, if you just looked at the implied usage, it indicated a residual use of 200 million bushels. 200 million bushels. Now, maybe, let's get super crazy and just assume that there's 100 million bushels of foreign ownership in transit, whether it be on a train, on a barge, on a boat. There's 100 million bushels of Chinese beans in movement. Okay? Let's assume that. That means there's still 100 million bushels of residual. Well, that's doable. That's doable, but it's certainly a lot higher than what USDA's been willing to estimate over the last 2-3 marketing years. So we've either got 100 million bushels in transit, of foreign-owned beans, or they overstated the crop.
Chip, we appreciate
I would guess they overstated the crop.
We appreciate you being with us, Chip.
You bet. Thanks, Todd.
Uh-huh. Chip Flory is the senior manager and analyst at Pro Farmer, and he's based in Cedar Falls, Iowa, in studio with us today. With their final word is Mike Zuzolo.
Well, this past week was a perfect bearish storm on the outside markets and USDA reports. If the outside markets hang in there, we'd look for a bottoming price action, short covering type price action, and take it from there.
Kurt Kimmel?
I think we got, like Chip said, you got to be kind of flexible here in the ability to change. But two, you got to remember we don't have the 2010 crop in the ground yet either.
And Bill Mayer.
I think we don't want to give up the ship here. We don't want to get too down the mouth. There will be opportunities. They may not be as good opportunities as we were expecting to get, but you have to be ready and willing to act and have your plan as to when you want to act and how you want to take advantage of it.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Thanks for listening. As always, you can hear us anytime you'd like at willag.org. You have a good week.